At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go.
Pac-12 fans, this one's for you.
Put your hands up, man!
This is the Pac-12 Apostles.
Keeping it real.
And only the truth lives here.
Pac-12 Apostles. Apostles.
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amsden. And this is the Pac-12 Apostles. So slash college football apostles, because who knows how this thing shakes up and ends up over the next couple of years. Now, first thing, before we even get to the week 3 recap, there has been some posturing and some maneuvering between the conference. You had the commissioner go on, George Kliakoff. He went on Canzano and Wilner's podcast and talked and was like, UCLA is going to lose money going into the Big Ten. And everybody's like, you sure about that, pal? And he also said that all 10 members, if you put the right numbers in front of them, they'll all sign the grant of rights. And I'm like, well, duh, if you put the right numbers. But the problem is you're not going to be able to put the right numbers. And then the next issue that he talked about was that if they were going to leave, they would have left already. And I was like, that ain't quite true, pal. So what did you make of George Kliakoff on Wilner and Canzano?
I think it's an incredible national effort to make that interview interesting. It wasn't. It was not an interesting interview in any way.
I would agree.
It was 30 minutes of George Kliakoff being like, great question, John and John. Really liked the question. Can't answer it. But hypothetically, if I was to answer it, I still probably wouldn't answer it. I'm not going to answer your question. Like that was the majority of the interview. And then maybe it's just me, but I took the UCLA thing as like a dig at UCLA and not a dig at the Big Ten travel. But again, maybe I'm tired. It's been a long week and maybe I'm thinking backwards. But I took it as an insult to UCLA because he was like if they want to lose money in the Big Ten, they can go lose money in the Big Ten, because that's what they're doing right now.
Correct.
They're losing money right now. So I don't know why I heard it in the way that I heard it. It was like, if you want to go do bad all by yourself, that's fine. But like, if you want to be part of like where we're going next and not have added expenses and also get your stuff together and not spend $4 million a year on lobster tails, then stick around. But if you want to go lose money in the Big Ten.
Yeah, but isn't that exactly what the Big Ten's promise is that UCLA and USC won't be left out on an island, as Greg Flugar says, out here. That, and we know for a fact that Oregon and Washington want into the Big Ten. They want in. And that things are starting to either heat up or that
There's no invite. It might be conditional a couple of years from now. And that might have been one of the things that lured the LA schools out into the Big Ten. The primary thing is money. Let's not even kid ourselves. But the whole idea of like, yeah, you might actually be able to go and play some other West Coast teams sometimes. Those schools are still pretty far away too, George. Like, travel in the Pac-12 is extensive regardless. So yes. I don't if Washington and Oregon want into the Big Ten, I would say that the reason that they're not in yet is because the invite hasn't been extended.
Yeah, it takes
an enormous amount of leverage for those two schools right now to hold the Pac-12 hostage for better terms going into whatever we do next.
Well, the other part of it is that these things took time. Like UCLA and USC have been at this for, you know, prior to the announcement in June. It was months, bro. Like, it was months. So any idea that so when anybody comes up with the idea that Oregon and Washington, oh, well, if the invite was there, it would have been there already. There's a lot of loopholes to jump through to even get to that point.
Like, well, that's a conditional scholarship offer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Dude, it took a long time. It took this was like a year of doing by USC. So if anybody thinks that this was going to happen in a matter of months, absolutely not.
I agree. And I still think that people are going to go with the option to make the most money that they possibly can. And the money in the Big 12 is so big. And you're talking probably doubling what you're getting right now. I don't even think that USC and UCLA have conditional memberships. I think they just get right into the money right away once they go over. They're not going to lose money unless they continue to be irresponsible on their end, coupled with, you know, more national stuff going on, like a pandemic or something like that. You know, they're going to find a way to break even, which is their job to break even, right? You can't make money. That's like the super important thing to remember here is nobody's allowed to make any money. You can launder money legally. Like, you can have a booster who owns a print shop who donates $500,000 a year to you, and you do $550,000 a year in business to his print shop. You can do that all day long. That happens in every market in America. But what you can't do is make money. So your options are to break even or lose money. And so that's why I kind of took it as Kliavkov saying, like, well, they're losing money now. They want to go lose money over there. That's fine.
Yeah, but how can they lose money? Like, yes, there will be increased travel, right? But yeah. The reality is that the money is going to like the idea that the Pac-12 is going to come up with this magic money. It doesn't seem realistic at this point because they're only negotiating right. with ESPN against themselves. This is like when UCLA.
The biggest issue for UCLA right now is market price of caviar. That's it.
Yeah, because UCLA is like when you look at U.S., well, their travel and the costs, right? So the Pac-12 is negotiating against itself. Well, sorry, ESPN is negotiating only against itself. This is just like when UCLA lost when Under Armour pulled out with UCLA. And then where else were they to go? Like, they didn't get a killer deal from Nike/Jordan. They didn't get a killer deal because they had nowhere else to go. They couldn't stay with Under Armour. Adidas did not want them back. And because not because UCLA is not a very respected brand, but because that ended so ugly. So your only option left was Nike and Jordan. But Nike and Jordan, but Jordan wanted UCLA. They wanted UCLA. So they were like, okay, because cool.
In Jordan's head, the schools that should be Jordan brand were the best basketball schools of the late 1980s.
So you have North Carolina, because he went there, obviously. Michigan. Yes.
Which the Fab Five came in the late 80s, early 90s, right?
Yep. And then in the SEC, it's Florida.
Right.
And then Big 12 is Oklahoma. And the Pac-12 is UCLA now. So, yeah. Yeah, so there was one in each conference, but now there's going to be two in the Big Ten.
Does that mean there's a Pac-12 Jordan spot open, and who gets it?
Okay, we keep assuming that the Pac-12 is going to be in existence the way it is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be UNLV because of Larry Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Absolutely not.
The Tarkanian. Yeah, it's going to be UNLV, charter member of the Pac-12, carrying the Jordan brand forward.
Yeah.
I don't look, if it happens in 2026 that Washington and Oregon leave, or they jump, they find a way to jump in 2024, which would be pretty sudden. If that happens, it happens. And then I think if you lose four teams, the Pac-12 still has the ability to survive by bringing in three California schools and UNLV. They will be by far the worst Power Five conference. However,
they will not be
the ability.
Okay. So let's say Oregon and Washington leave. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you think that Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah are going to stay put, or do you think that they're going to go to the Big Ten?
Well, what we're saying is what the Big Ten is going to be a 2024 team conference, or are you talking about the Big 12?
The Big 12.
Yeah. I'm not sure. What might reverberate is ASU losing to Eastern Michigan, causing Herm Edwards to quit/get fired simultaneously, but neither thing, and then putting Ray Anderson on notice, who is George Kliavkov's main ally right now in keeping the Pac-12 together. So Eastern Michigan might have just made the Big Ten a whole lot of money. You might have to put Eastern Michigan in the Big Ten after what happened this weekend.
Oh my God, dude. No, we're not putting them in, but they did get a big win. So I guess to put a bow on this, I think that we have to say that the posturing and the trying to negotiate this publicly is not a good deal. It is not a good deal because George Kliavkov, I agreed with Greg Flugar that it didn't look good at all for him to say that UCLA was going to lose money, because how can that be possible when they're going to make at least double what they're making in the Pac-12?
Which is why I interpreted it as they can continue to lose money because they're losing money now. So I took it as a shot at UCLA. It was a pretty boring interview regardless, and I think trying to sensationalize it doesn't pay respect to the fact that he actually didn't say anything. And the interview it showed a lot of practicality and business sense outside of that one line. He was incredibly careful to tiptoe around what was going on, to talk about what part of the processes are real and what are not, what parts are actually locked into a contract and what are up for negotiation, but without actually saying anything at all. I just don't think it was as incendiary as people want to make it out to be. Plus, UCLA's leaving, so like MF them on the way out. Who cares? How does that affect Oregon and Washington and what they're going to do? They're going to make the most practical decision for them. I think everybody should be making fun of UCLA nonstop just for the laughs, just for fun. Like, I hope that George Kliavkov mocks UCLA every day for the next 2 years.
Why?
Because it's funny.
Wow. Mad.
It affects nothing. They're leaving. They're gone.
Yeah. Yep. So now on to week three. Week three in the conference. In our predictions, how did we do?
You went 5-5 because you did not pick the Fresno State USC spread. And I went 5-6 because I did. I got that one wrong. So,
oh, wait. I picked what was the spread in that game?
12.5 for USC.
Oh, what would I have done? Ah, that would have been a tough one.
It sounded like you were agreeing with the stuff I was saying, but then we just moved on to the next game without you saying
anything. Oh, I didn't. I didn't pick. I honestly I probably would have. I may have picked Fresno State just to, but I think I would have picked UCLA to win, but that spread could have been sketchy to me. So I'll take an L on that one.
I took so many L's this week. However, I do want to ignore all of them to point out the fact that I said Jack Plummer's not going to be intimidated by playing in South Bend and they're not going to win, but it'll be close and they'll lose 24-17. And that is exactly what happened. That might be the first time that I've ever not only called the score, but how the game would play out. So I'm ignoring all of the very bad calls I made to point out that I did one thing right one time.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So was this a good week for the conference?
Yeah, very.
Very. Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I would agree
Maybe
with that,
too. Maybe our best week in years.
Hey, this was the first time that the Pac-12 has won games against multiple ranked teams in the same weekend, like non-conference ranked teams in what was it, like 2013 or something, like 14, something like that? Bro, that's insanity. That is absolute insanity. All right. Let's start with the first game and the game that I went to. South Alabama at UCLA. Beware of Sunbelt teams. Everybody, beware of Sunbelt teams. This is you cannot overlook them. This is not a drill. They will beat you. You must take them, like, you cannot take them lightly. They are a menace, dude. They are an absolute menace. So Appalachian State beat Texas A&M last week. Well, in week two. Marshall beat Notre Dame. Georgia State took North Carolina to the brink. South Alabama beat Central Michigan. That was all in week two. Nebraska lost to Georgia Southern. Like, that was all in 1 week. 1 freaking week. And then in week one, Appalachian State barely lost to North Carolina. You had, these teams are not playing around. Coastal Carolina beat Army. Yeah, they are not playing around at all. And then in week three, UCLA got pushed to the brink. To the absolute brink by South Alabama, who's a good football team. So, do not sleep on these Sunbelt teams. That's the warning.
I agree. What did you think of, because I wonder if the being there in person had the same feel as the TV broadcast. What did
the TV broadcast do? Feel like
it was a bad look for DTR. The TV broadcast was a rough look for Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He was so fed up with his entire team.
Okay. I was like he didn't play poorly.
I'm not even body language policing. I thought he wanted to fight the whole team.
Dude, so at the game, first thing is UCLA has no home field advantage right now. None. Correct. Zero. Yeah. Zilch. Nada. Dude, it was such a pleasant experience getting in and out of the Rose Bowl. Such a pleasant experience.
Oh, my God. You're such a dad.
What do you mean?
That's a miserable college football experience.
Bingo. It was so easy to get in and out of the Rose Bowl. So easy. Dude, we got there. So I picked the kids up at 9:45. We got there like 10:15, 10:20.
What's typical, like, if they were ranked playing a ranked team?
Like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
You would have had to, if you got off the freeway at 10:15, first of all, it would have been a line to get off the freeway. And then there would have been, it would have been tough, dude, at 10:15, you would not have, even if you park where I park, which is, I can throw a rock and hit the stadium from where my parking passes are. I would have been late to kickoff. I would have missed kickoff. Like, you used to have to get there, like, plan to be there an hour and a half. That way you could, for sure, like, getting off the freeway at an hour and a half to ensure that you got into the stadium on time. Like, go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Just, oh, dude, the line to get food. There was no line at the bathroom. Dude, it was a pleasant experience. But it was a miserable college football experience. It was great because I had my three-year-old with me. He's running around the aisles. He can sit on every seat and put them down, put them up. Dude, it was fantastic family-wise, but college football-wise, terrible, dude. And
Are you surprised, based on how things were going around halftime, are you surprised UCLA pulled it out?
No. They're a better football team. I mean, but South Alabama made a calculated error on that 4th-and-2 when they did that fake field goal at the end of the game. Before UCLA's last possession where they went down and kicked the game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
They screwed up. They should have put their offense on the field. If you were going to go for it on fourth down, your offense had been being pretty successful all day.
Right.
Don't,
I agree.
Don't try to get tricky. Just line up and win. Like, that's the bit, because your quarterback was pulling a Houdini act part of the game. And so I left this game taking this and looking at UCLA and still having the same concerns that I had for their previous two games. Their previous two games were against Bowling Green and Alabama State. They started slow in both of those games.
Yeah.
That's a concern. Their defense against South Alabama didn't look as stout as it needed to be. Yeah, and this game against Colorado, first of all, there's no chance they lose this game to Colorado. That's impossible. But if they let Colorado score like 21 points, 17 points, that's a major concern.
For sure. For sure. I think that it to the same thing that I always point out with SEC, like it does not help you to play an FCS team second game of the season after like it just to and I is cool to bring HBCU in, but that needs to be the first game of the season. You can't have a dip down in talent and then ramp yourself back up for a Sun Belt team in front of, you know, first thing in the morning in front of no crowd.
Yep.
And then just I'm telling you, man, DTR was fed up. He was pissed. And I don't think UCLA is going to have a game where they're this sloppy and can't hold on to the ball again, because this was an extreme amount of fumbling. But on that side pitch, why do that? To Charbonnet that just like turned into a big scramble for the ball that got pushed back toward the other end zone. Not only did DTR yell during the fumble, he stopped and threw his hands up and yelled during the fumble. Then he chased the ball down, got pancaked, and while there was a pile of them trying to get the football, he was sitting on his ass facing the opposite direction with his head down like, I should not have come back to school. And that wasn't even the first or last time during the game where you could see that he was frustrated with his team. And so it's just he's made so much progress maturing, but there's only so much that you can take. And it was like, oh, wow, this is like 5 years of issues coming back.
Oh, yeah.
In one game.
Yeah, he was very frustrated. And I would say rightfully so. All right. Next game up, Cal at Notre Dame. This was a game that was just, I mean, I got to be honest, this game was hard to watch.
Yeah, fun fourth quarter though, huh?
Yes, fun fourth quarter, but this game was hard to watch. I mean, neither team looks good.
No,
neither team
Cal looks okay. Cal looks okay. They'll probably be
No. I'm saying they don't look good. Neither team looks good.
When's the last time Cal looked good though? I don't think I remember watching a Justin Wilcox coached offense at any point ever and being like, ooh.
I've been like, ooh, that was cute. That was cute. Okay, like, offense. No
feeling, I never had any feelings stirred within me by a Cal offense. And which is funny because it happened so many times this weekend watching other Pac-12 teams that had me going back to Cal and be like, man, they are boring as hell.
Yep, for sure. So what was your takeaway from this game? Because aside from it being boring, and I was like, I felt like you were like two bad teams were playing against each other. I could not, I couldn't really get a true assessment of what the hell was going on with Notre Dame because they have a new quarterback, but like they won, so that's what matters. But then on
they might have a new quarterback if he's not buried in Tommy Reese's backyard by now.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I had one takeaway from this game and one only, and it's actually pro Cal. Cal is not going to face a pass rush like that again for the rest of the year. So they can learn from what happened and move on. That is one of the best pass rush attacks that I have seen in college football this year. It was relentless. It was coming from everywhere. That's not going to happen in Pac-12 play, not at that level. But you got to find a way to. I don't care if it's screens. You got to find some way to do something.
Yeah,
Jack
to slow
Plummer's
it down.
Mobile enough, but good Lord, they were on him immediately, especially throughout the fourth when they knew he had to pass.
Well, listen, you got to get people blocked now. On to the Colorado-Minnesota game. That 27, what were they favored by? 27 and a half points? That felt like That felt like a guarantee. Bet the mortgage, bet the kids' college fund. That was such a, I was like, how is Colorado supposed to score? How? They added a gimme touchdown late, but this team is like no understating. They passed for 90 yards, dude. 90 yards. They ran for 137. This team is, I'm not even going to talk about the players because I don't even know how bad the players are. They can't all be this bad. I'm blaming this on Carl Durrell, his mismanagement of this team. And you know how it pains me to crucify a black coach like this. He made a terrible offensive coordinator hire. Minnesota had one of the worst offenses in the country last year. They fired their offensive coordinator, and Carl Durrell's like, wait, I'll hire him. That's the guy that I should get. Can't hear you.
Oh, I was saying curse words. After seeing him work in person, because these two teams played last year.
Yeah.
After seeing him work in person, he made that hire.
Yes. And he thought it was the players. You don't have, like, you have the exact same players at Colorado as he has at Minnesota.
And what about, no one talks about the roster mismanagement that had a bunch of your best players transfer, but you couldn't bring anybody in because you were still at 85. How the hell did that happen? Nobody's at 85 right now. Barely anyone's at 80.
Yeah. It's because they probably gave scholarships to walk-ons and other. Bro, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I have to check to see if I might be on scholarship at Colorado.
Like, how
there was one play. I just want to bring up one play because there was they had put Brendan Lewis back into the game, and he took a snap and rolled left to avoid the pass rush, and he's rolling toward the sideline, and it got to the point where he's running for his life, right?
Yeah.
And he's running east and west completely, like no direction, no indication that he's going to turn upfield. And at that point, you're going to want to get rid of the ball. Or at the very least, you're going to want to save your life and get out of bounds. But he's probably 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. What does he do? Drops the ball off his knee and fumbles it like 13 yards out of bounds.
Bro.
The commentators that were watching the game, it just gets to the point where there's nothing you can say anymore. And then Minnesota just kept piling it on because you know it was a PJ Fleck revenge game. And it really sucks to have a revenge game from a team that shut you out the previous year.
Bro, like, this team.
Carl Durrell gave Minnesota a reason to be upset after getting shut out. And that's just phenomenal. I cannot believe I went back and watched this game, and my jaw was on the floor the whole time.
Bro. Their only chance to win a game is going to be against Arizona, and they're going to get blown out in that game too. Like, they're not going to win a game. What?
Halfway through the third quarter on Friday night, Wyoming, who is not good, my favorite team, not good, was leading Air Force 10-0 halfway through the third quarter. And I was like,
and they beat Air Force.
They beat Air Force, yeah. But it was 10-0 halfway through the third, and Air Force blew out Colorado. And
correct.
Like, guys, Colorado might suck.
Colorado is the worst team. Like, they are one of the worst teams in the country. Like bottom five.
And they release a statement. Director Rick George released a statement, and it was just like, hey, we're trying. And that was it. That's a whole statement.
Hey, keep supporting us. We're gonna get it figured out. These results are not indicative of who we are and what we're doing. Get out of here, bro. Get out of here. There's like you have to do some soul searching if you want anything different. All right.
You are a transfer quarterback in America right now.
No. No.
No, really?
I'm not going to Colorado. You serious? With that coordination? Mm-mm. No way. That is a recipe for failure, bro. I refuse to believe that JT Stroud, Rice, and even McCown. I refuse to believe that they are 10 completions, 10 for 24, 90 bad. And it's not like they threw picks. I just refuse to believe that they are that bad. Nope. I feel like that if you put my 16-year-old son out there in a that he can throw for 90 yards, maybe.
What do you think would happen one quarter only? One quarter. 15 minutes. Georgia versus Colorado.
Oh, they would have to stop the game. They would have to stop the game. Okay, so on Georgia's note, and I'm not even being hyperbolic. Like, I don't think that Oregon was 49-3 bad. I think that they got shocked in the first game of the season and couldn't. The momentum fell on them too, and they just couldn't unravel what was taking place. But it is a. I said that Georgia was that their over under for the first seven games of the season is 1.5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up a touchdown against South Carolina in absolute garbage time. But
yeah, it was
their upcoming schedule. I mean, it was super garbage time. Like, that was like an accident. But their upcoming schedule, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, how I don't see where. So South Carolina is a competent offensive team on some level, right? Yep, they play Kent. They play Kent State this week. Will Kent State score a touchdown?
Probably not.
Yep. They play Missouri the next weekend. Will Missouri score?
I'll give them one.
No. Have you seen Missouri? Missouri's awful.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. Sometimes you create a situation where you're on fourth strings and kids of donuts.
Oh, true.
Playing in the defensive backfield. Okay. Make-A-Wish kids out there with
And then they play Auburn, whose offense is putrid, and then Vanderbilt.
Oof, that's
what I'm saying. I wasn't joking. Like, they could legitimately give up 1.5 touchdown, like one and a, over. Like, okay.
What about 2020 Arizona against 2022 Colorado?
Wait, 2020. Wait,
oh, the team that lost 70-7 to Arizona to end the season to get someone fired.
Oh my God. That's like a 3-0 game. 3-0 or 6-3. You know, you hit two 50-yard field goals and you got you a win.
Okay.
All right. All right.
That was a long Colorado segment.
BYU versus Oregon. I felt this game happening. Like, I felt very confident going into this game that Oregon was going to win this game. I liked the way that they responded against Eastern Washington. And it wasn't just the win. It was the way the defense played. They were physical. They were tackled. When they hit people, they weren't falling forward anymore. That Georgia game shocked the hell out of them. And I knew it was either going to go one way or the other. And now with the physicality and the power that they played with, and I know that BYU was without their top two wide receivers, but that wouldn't have helped.
No, that didn't. Not on defense.
No, because they were cutting through the defense like butter with a hot knife, buddy.
Bo Nix was making some throws that I'm not used to, and it's not that he can't make those throws; it's that the receivers he was throwing to weren't always open. He was trusting them.
Yep.
And letting your receivers make a play is something that's been missing from Oregon's offense and that was missing in the Crystal Ball years, if we're being honest.
Yes.
So that was cool to see. The scripted drive for BYU was beautiful. And then that's the last good thing they did until the fourth quarter. Oregon not losing their sense of urgency, like being able to recapture it, put Bo Nix in and still play with energy was nice because they had scored 38 unanswered points. A couple of the other things that I really liked from this game were just, that's it. It was 38 unanswered points. It was, and then being able to keep that intensity once BYU, because again, they're a well-coached team. Once they were able to figure out a way to score and then capitalize on sort of a bizarre turnover. It looked like, who's number two? that was coming across with that quick in. He let the ball bounce off his hands, but it was like he name? Was
Yeah, the wide receiver.
It was like his brain was in outer space or something, because it hit him off the hands, but it's like he didn't even open his hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That rebounded off of his noggin. That was not good. But this was a very dominant performance. They ran the ball extremely well. And then Dan Lanning went for 4th-and-1 on his own 30. Like, Oregon lined up under center like six or seven plays in the game. And one of the play, well, actually, and like, and they lined up in 23 personnel, which is two backs, three tight ends, no wide receivers, at like the 50-yard line on first down, and was like, here we go. You know what's coming. Stop it. And they did it for a first down multiple times. And then they kept running the same play over and over again. They were like, we're just going to just maul you. Got me so excited, because Kenny Dillingham's offense looked versatile. It looked explosive. And I think that this team with the talent, is going to be a force.
Yeah. I mean, they're at the very least, they're going to be all right, which not a lot of people were thinking at halftime of that Georgia game. But again, Georgia is a completely different animal, and we've learned that since then. BYU is big and physical, so everything about this was impressive. It would have helped them to have their two receivers. I did not leave this game thinking anything less of Jaren Hall. I still think I still think this is a good team. I just think it's a really, really good Oregon win. Do you have anything to say about the, because I know it's become sort of a weird controversy. It really felt to me like 18 to 20 year olds just being drunk assholes at a game, but the whole F the Mormons chant that is.
Oh, that was gross, dude. That was gross. That there's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed as a Oregon fan and former player there. You can tease a lot of things. You can say F Kalani Sitake, F Jaren Hall, like whoever, all of that. But you can't get to dissing people's faith. It's just not cool.
And I mean, people have been chanting FUBYU for 30 years because it rhymes. But when you're talking about like the actual human beings, that's pretty stupid. But at the same time, you know, everybody's talking about bigotry, and what it looked like to me was, no, there's a bunch of kids that think that, you know, that grew up watching Tosh.0, nothing sacred, and they think they're being funny. Those people did not seem smart enough to be able to religiously persecute. They just seemed like, what's the most shocking and stupid thing we can chant at this point in time? I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying, if you've ever been to a game and sat in the student section, some of those kids are dum-dums.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're drunk college assholes. And that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't mean that they should not have some sort of punishment for what they did. But that's just how, you know,
to go to church.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews
with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, next game up. Colorado State at Washington State. Colorado State's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I thought that they were going to be a little bit better, new head coach, everything. But maybe this is one of those years that they're trying to get their roster together, find players that are going to fit what they want to do and all of that stuff. And Washington State exploded offensively. But I think that that's more due to how bad Colorado State is, because this is a team that only scored 24 points against Idaho and 17 against Wisconsin, but then exploded for 38. So why don't see them as an offensive juggernaut at this point?
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought this game would be closer because of just the familiarity that Jay Norvell would have had with Washington State defensive coordinator Brian Ward. Turns out it was the exact opposite. It was 21-0 immediately. I mean, immediately this game was 21-0. And so the talent at Colorado State is not good. It was not good. They brought over a lot of transfers and players from Nevada, not enough to make a difference. But from stuff that I'm hearing around that program, Jay Norvell decided to come in and be a hard ass. And even some of the people that followed him over are like, this is uncharacteristically, you know, this is too much. So yeah. He's not getting a lot of buy-in from his players right now. I still think he has the ability to figure things out there, but it's not going to be this year, and Cam Ward is starting to look comfortable. That was my biggest takeaway, is like, oh, no. When he looks comfortable, he looks like he could do some really special things.
Yeah.
But we got to see him against – we have to see him.
We will know more about them this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We will know a lot more about them this weekend, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Next game up. Washington 39, Michigan State 28. And this game was nowhere near as close as the final score dictates. This was not an 11-point victory. This was a destruction. This was a destruction. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. looked like... Huh?
Filthy.
He looked like the black Jake Haner playing for Kalen DeBoer at Fresno State. Like he looked like
a football version of Greg Maddux, though. He went like there wasn't a lot of zip on his passes.
No, he was just dropping them joints.
Corners.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just throwing back shoulders on the sideline deep.
Bro,
balls.
Throwing
God
the ball, throwing it into a shoebox. I mean, and Michigan State looked slower than Washington. They looked like Washington looked like that they had like that they were better at pretty much every position. The only person that wasn't better is Keon Coleman. He was the best wide receiver on the field, even though Jalen Polk did have more yards and an additional touchdown. But Keon Coleman was unstoppable for Michigan State.
Yeah. I would say it was wild when it was 22-0 Washington, and Washington had also left a touchdown on the board.
Yeah.
Like that was.
You look then, like, can they stop them at all?
And then when it got really like, oh my God, was when.
Because it was 36-14.
Yes. And when, but when Michigan State marched down and scored before halftime, and you were like, oh, that's a great way to go into the locker room. Like they, this home crowd was a lot. There's a lot yep. going on. They had a couple of good things, but you could see the energy was going up.
And then Washington went like right back down.
Right back down immediately. Like, and that was the biggest eye-opening moment, because it was like, oh, this is about the best start that Washington ever could have hoped for. And then when they answered that touchdown, it was like, oh, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely over.
Correct. Yes, you knew that that was over at halftime when it was 29-8. You were like, oh, yeah. There's no way they can stop them. It's not possible. If Michael Penix yeah. Jr. is playing football, they cannot be stopped by this Michigan State team. So
I was watching that game, just watching them throw for 400 yards. And I was like, man, I wonder what Jimmy Lake's up to right now.
Run the damn football.
Right? I was like, I wonder if he's watching the game. That was what I was thinking about. And I still think Mel Tucker's a really good coach, and it's possible that Washington or that Michigan State was overrated heading into the season, but it might just be that Washington turned it around that quick because
they had good players.
Has been special.
Yes.
Yes, they did have good players. And I'm still mad that some of them didn't stick it out. I think Jacoby Covington would have been a monster on this defense. But, like, they had good players, and now they have a quarterback that's flinging it all over the field. They're exciting. It's amazing how quick in the transfer portal era you can turn a whole team around. And yep. I don't think Michigan State's that bad. I think Washington might just be – that good. They are so good for the Pac-12 right now while they're still in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is more fun when multiple teams from the north are a threat and multiple teams from the south are a threat. That was an exciting game. It was just like to have a team go out there and dominate, and there were a few dominant performances this week. It's exciting because watching the Pac-12 just drag itself through non-conference play was pretty brutal. And this year it's like, no, we're back.
Oh, 100%. Now we say, oh my God, there's actually some good teams around this joint.
I do want people to take notice of, like, when Washington is good, you say it out loud.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That I'm not a hater, that I will actually say when Washington looks good. Thank you.
Because you are a hater of one team in the Pac-12.
Who is that?
USC.
No.
Like, if Washington fans want to know what it looks like when you're actually being a hater, they should watch how you've reacted to USC starting 3-0.
All right. Well, so you have USC 3-0, Washington 3-0, Oregon 2-1, and they look like a good football team. Same thing with Utah. UCLA is 3-0. Cal is 2-1. Washington State is 3-0. Oregon State is 3-0. Arizona's 2-1. Bro, this is good. Like you, like
four,
this is
four ranked teams between 7 and 18 with two other undefeateds.
Yes, the only other way that this could be any better, really, because we will take Oregon beating Georgia off the table, but Utah beating Florida, that's the only way it could be better right now.
That is the biggest disappointment so far to me is Utah should have won that game. And then also Colorado should have taken a year off of football.
Yeah.
Like those are the only two things that I'm upset about right now.
All right. Now, next game up. Montana State at Oregon State, 68-28. I mean, is there?
It was 34-14 in the second quarter. And it was like, when is the last time you saw Oregon State go out and blow a team out like this?
Oh,
they were
yeah.
having fun.
Yeah, Chance Nolan threw four touchdowns. I don't think they turned the ball over. Their defense was opportunistic. Like, they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
I know that's an FCS team they played, but it's not a bad one.
Hey, yo, I would not want to be USC this weekend, buddy, with all the stuff, because we're going to talk. So we will talk about in just a second what's going on with Oregon State and their TV stuff, but they're going to be big mad, bro. They are going to be big mad. All right. We have USC 45, Fresno State 17. This was a game that
I'm curious to USC's, see what you say, because I don't know if we're going to have the same take on this.
USC's players were just better. Like, that's the end of the story. Their players were better, and they played better. Like, that was it. And USC was able to run the football. Austin Jones and Travis Dye had over 100 yards each, and both had a touchdown, and both averaged over 9 yards a carry. Yeah. Like, Fresno State could not stop the run, period. Point blank, period. End of the story. And they didn't have enough athletes to tackle, to run, to do anything against this. But Fresno State was able to get some pressure on Caleb Williams, which is a continual story. So when you have a team, whenever they play a team with some good athletes who can get pressure, like they will this weekend at Oregon State, bro, watch out. Watch out.
Have you seen the meme on Twitter? Anytime like two people are fighting, someone in the comments posts that meme of like the black boxing ref.
Oh yeah.
Like, ooh. Like watching, yeah. Like he's really into it. That's how I was with this whole game. This game, like throw the score out. It was so fun, especially for the first like three quarters before Jake Haener got taken out of the game. There were so many big plays. There were so many sacks. There were so many like tip passes. Almost every snap of this game, something fun was happening. And I know, I think you're probably right. It's just, you know, USC had better players. At one point, Jake Haener was like 3 of 6 for 33 yards in the second quarter. Like they weren't even trying to, I think they were just trying to test that USC run defense, which we've said has, you know, has issues. But they weren't actually letting Jake cook. Caleb Williams had a couple of plays in this game where I was like, all right, he's really that dude.
Yeah.
And it really was when he was running with the football. He straight up broke somebody's ankles on his first touchdown run. Everything about this game was fun. It was like a 5-round UFC fight where the winner won all 5 rounds, but they were just standing throwing punches the whole time. I had so much fun watching this game. I think USC is really good. I felt a little gross by the end of the game, though.
Why?
If I'm being honest. It's just, you have this perspective out there, right, that like college football is being ruined by the transfer portal. Right? Okay. It exists. I'm not saying that I feel that way. I'm saying you have to acknowledge that while I don't think people are serious about giving up on the game, there are a lot of people that are super dissatisfied with the idea that there's just a bunch of farm teams out there, you know? And there was one point in the game where it's like Caleb Williams passes to Jordan Addison. And then on the next play hands off to Travis Dye. And then USC's defense takes the field. Jacoby Covington gets a tackle. Oh, there's Solomon Bird with another sack. And it's just like, man, none of these dudes were here last year.
Correct.
Not a single effing one of them was here last year. And it got to a point in the game where it was like, oh, man, I would have loved if Solomon Bird stayed at Wyoming. Like, oh, crazy. I wonder what Pitt would have looked like if, you know, it just, and it, but it, because if it's one or two players that are making an impact, like when you're watching University of Arizona's offense and it's Jaden Delora to Jacob Cowing, you know. And,
yeah.
But when it's like, no matter who touches the ball, it's like they had a really good year at App State last year or Texas State.
Tennessee Tech. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. The whole time it was just like, God damn, they really – I don't know. It's hard to explain it because it doesn't bother me, but by the end of that game I was exhausted. I really was because I know there's like people say like I'd rather be built than bought. Like you just want to win. But at one point in the game, it was like, if this keeps happening every year, the rich are only ever going to get it. I think that's what it was just realizing that like, oh, Wyoming is never going to have a good 2-year player ever again, because one good year means they're going to be playing in the Coliseum. And
that stinks. That stinks, dude. That absolutely stinks.
You said sucks to suck because you're an Oregon fan. Even though they do have Travis Dye, like, Oregon's not going to be in a position where they're losing talented players to a bigger state.
No.
You know?
No. Yeah. And we get to take some of those players. So, you know, it is
right.
It is what it is.
I'm sitting there watching Stanley Lambert ball out, and I'm like, man, he would have really helped ASU this week.
All right. We will save the firing game for last, but North Dakota State at Arizona. You said that North Dakota State should be favored in this game. I was like, you are a madman.
They were favored, but not by as many as we set our personal line at, which we said 9.5. It was 2.5.
Yeah. So either way, Arizona won. The better team won. Arizona's headed in the right direction, as I told you. If they could start out the season 2-1, which they did, they're on to 4 or 5 wins. Oh, they're going to have 3 wins after they play Colorado.
That's true. Do you think the better team won?
Yes.
Do you think because sometimes you got to beat a team that's better than you to on your way up. They got
But there's no way that they can feel like that
on defense.
Yeah, that they are better. Like, there's no way that they can feel like that North Dakota State is better than them. Because if they feel
you don't want to feel that way, but when you get a 3-point win at home, the crowd was bananas. They were having to, with everything that Arizona's been through, it was so crazy that on the final drive of the game, when North Dakota State decided to punt the ball away with 2:55 left, that Will Plummer, standing on the sideline next to Jed Fish, was having to quiet the Arizona crowd so that they could try to run the clock out on North Dakota State.
That's good.
This fourth quarter was like, if you are sitting down, you don't have a soul. Like, that you should have been standing for that whole fourth quarter, because some of the stuff that happened, first of all, the game should have been over.
When
University of Arizona missed a field goal and they were down 4, and North Dakota State hands the ball off, and it looks like it's going to be nothing but great 80-yard touchdown run. And I think his name is Isaiah Rutherford. It was like a Notre Dame transfer or something like that. He makes a touchdown-saving tackle, saves the game. And North Dakota State ends up taking the ball all the way down, easily taking the ball all the way down, and missing a field goal.
Yep. Gave him a shot.
Gave him a shot. And then Arizona has a fourth down play where they made a substitution. So it's like 4th and 3 or 4th and 4. They make a substitution, and North Dakota State switches out almost the whole defense. It was wild to see. It was like hockey.
Yeah, because they wanted to take a long time. That way, then you can potentially get a delay a game.
So then you figure, like, oh, man, University of Arizona's got to, like, they got to run the ball to get this fourth down. They threw it. and Jaden Delore changed the play. He changes the play. They get the first down. Then he throws a touchdown pass to Jacob Cowing, and it was like, wow, they really have the lead.
Yep.
And then to stop North Dakota State, and then to run the clock out,
they are much improved. Yes, I told you, Jed Fish got this thing moving in the right direction, bro. It's a long way to up, but they're gonna next year. They're gonna be a nuisance to.
What do you think of Jed Fish's reaction when the clock hit 0? Did you see it?
Mm-mm. I turned the game off at that point.
He screamed, F you. It looked like he was pointing to the North Dakota State sideline. I don't know who he's talking to in particular. It pointed and he said, F you. Looked like he was pointing to the whole.
Love it.
Whole
love
North
it.
Dakota State sideline.
Love it. I love a fiery coach. All right, speaking of fiery coach, not a fiery coach, but a fired coach, Herm Edwards and the Fighting Arizona States. Ralph is wearing his Arizona State gear today.
It's a good week to be a Sun Devil.
Why is that?
It's always a good week to be a Sun Devil.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't think the last couple years were good weeks to be Sun Devils, but, you know.
I have no memory of anything that happened prior to this week.
So, Eastern Michigan 30, Arizona State 21. Bro, this was a epic disaster. You lost to Eastern Michigan. So, without even talking about the team and the players, because the most important thing is that Herm got fired.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about Herm getting fired?
Yep.
Well, let's go back. Herm wasn't fired. I want your God. Reaction.
To- okay. It was mutually discussed.
What does that mean? So he didn't resign, because if you were to resign, you're forfeiting your salary.
That right? means you got fired.
He did. He did, though. He did. He quit. I just want to be really clear that, yes, he didn't get fired by Ray Anderson. Are you kidding me?
Wait, he forfeited the rest of his money?
No. You can't call it a resignation because he would forfeit the rest of his money.
Okay, so that means you fired him.
No, it means your coach quit, but you won't call it a resignation because then you can't pay your friend. It's something I would have done for you and you would have done for me.
Yes.
But he quit. If they had that meeting on Saturday and Herm said, I cannot wait for Utah. Like, I know exactly what's going on with this team. We have the adjustments made. We're ready to go. Then there is no mutual decision, George. There's no mutual decision.
They fired him. They just didn't want to call it a firing, but they fired him.
What? Then why? Well, I guess the thing is, maybe you can't call it a firing because you're waiting for the notice of allegations to drop to see how much you're going to owe him. But then that's giving Ray Anderson the benefit of the doubt. And if you want to give Ray Anderson the benefit of the doubt for anything ever, be my guest. But I'm not going to do it. What it seems like to me is the same thing that brought Herm Edwards here is the same thing that's influencing the language around his dismissal / not resignation / conscious uncoupling. But in my head, he quit. Because if you're telling me it's a mutual decision, then you're saying that Herm Edwards thinks that he shouldn't be the coach anymore.
No, and I don't think that Herm Edwards would ever say that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant, players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, okay. So now the last thing about this is, what do you think about what The Athletic published about this potentially being partially an inside job?
So I went back. I know Doug Holler. I didn't talk to him about this, but he wrote an article a couple of weeks ago that he went up to Flagstaff and spent 4 days with the coaches.
Okay.
So naturally, I'm going to be like, well, who do they play this year and who did he have access to? If he was out at Pac-12 Media Day, then he could have talked to any number of Pac-12 coaches, right? But his primary job is to cover all over the state of Arizona, and does he know people at U of A? Yeah. Scotty Graham, the running backs coach, who you know well.
Yes.
Right?
Very well.
Right. So Scotty Graham is a running backs coach at Arizona. He was tasked with helping Herm Edwards succeed at Arizona State. He left. He went to University of Arizona instead.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those things are related, but the first thing I thought of was like, oh, they're going to have to play Arizona. I'm sure he knows Scotty Graham. Maybe somebody in the admin office that Scotty Graham used to work with was complaining out loud around.
Okay.
That was my first thought. And then I was like, wait a minute. Didn't I read a Doug Holler story where he went and spent 4 days with the coaching staff at NAU? And I went back and I reread the story, and it was like the NAU staff is really struggling to figure out what this Arizona State team is going to be like because they have 43 new players and new coordinators and new analysts. And so he also has a section in there about how, hey, word on the street is Emory Jones throwing an interception every day in practice, and most of them are over the middle. So you're going to have your chances. Be ready.
Yeah.
Well, you could get that information from reading practice reports, or you could think to yourself, NAU's offensive coordinator is a former ASU and Oregon wide receiver, Aaron Flugra.
Mm-hmm.
NAU's head coach, Chris Ball, was Todd Graham's ace recruiter at ASU. Like, there's plenty of ASU NAU connections. There's a Doug Holler story talking about how they know stuff that's going on at ASU practices. And Doug Holler spent 4 days with them. And then he references it in his new Athletic article that it wasn't hard to find out stuff about ASU because some people in the Athletic office wanted Herm gone. Is Doug Holler making a connection that maybe isn't there? I don't think so. Is it a bigger deal than people are making it? Based on what I'm reading into it, I think probably. I think somebody, because this is college coaches that follow me, earmuffs. Y'all are gossipy people.
You talk to them. Okay.
They do. And they talk to each other, and it's a big community, and the idea that somebody would overshare because they're sick of Herm
is a possibility.
It's a possibility. It's a big no-no. It's a big no-no, right? No-no. So that's all I have to say about that. I do want to go back to the game for 1 second, because the second and third quarter and the final drive is the worst football I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And I just want to point out that if anybody thinks that they did wrong by Herm, the fact that they didn't just tear the stadium down after that game, worst football I've ever seen. Down nine with three minutes left. They're huddling and taking the play clock down to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Huddling before every play. Down nine. They gave up 256 yards rushing to a running back that he has maybe like one other 100-yard rushing game.
They knocked the opposing quarterback
out of the game early on, and the backup quarterback tore you up.
Yep. It was pitiful. It was pitiful, and there was no room for Herm to stay there after that. All right. Now, I want to talk about this Oregon State situation, because it's notable. Oregon State, who's 3-0, is playing USC. This game is on Pac-12 Network.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State next weekend is playing against Utah, and it's their homecoming game. So there are rules surrounding homecoming games that you can't put the schedule out a week in advance. That way they can have time to prepare and all of that stuff. So that game is going to be on Pac-12 Network. Even if Utah wins this weekend and they'll be a top, probably a top 10 team or close to it at 3-1. If Oregon State beats USC, that game's still going to be on Pac-12 Network. And you're going to have a 4-0 Oregon State team playing a 3-1. So two of your better teams in the conference record-wise on Pac-12 Network in front of like 15 million people. Instead of on ESPN.
You can take million. You can take million right out of that sentence.
In front of like 15 people. And it, and Oregon State fans are so upset. And the reason why is because the networks, ESPN and Fox, are banking on USC being good at the end of the season, because you have to play the same number of games on Pac-12 Network as you have non-conference home games. So USC has three, and they have to get on Pac-12 Network three times. So that means, and college football ratings go up as the season goes on. So now you're going to have an opportunity to have USC on every weekend in the end of the season. And so Oregon State's getting screwed in the process.
Yes. I have Pac-12 Network, so I'm good. I hate to be that guy, but it's, we've spent so much time on
this. Yeah, but it matters podcast. Your brand, dude. It, Oregon State, how can they ever be expected to rise up if you can't get on TV?
They rise up, and they did it anyway. They did it anyway.
Yeah, but to take things to the next level. No, I'm saying that to take things to the next level and get better recruits, branding matters.
I guess they're doing it. They're doing it anyway. They're doing it anyway. I'm going to be able to watch the game. I highly recommend you buy Sling. I was listening to the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, and they have Sling ads on there.
Yeah.
And the Sling ads say that if you have Sling, you can get all these sports networks, and it lists them out one by one, and it lists every single network except for Pac-12 Network. So on a Pac-12 podcast, Sling is advertising that you can get every network, but they don't even mention Pac-12 Network. That's how down bad our conference is, that you can't even advertise on a Pac-12 podcast for the Pac-12 Network on one of the only streaming services that has it.
Yep.
I mean, Oregon State's doing fine. Do your best to find a place to watch it or go to the game. There's a and for USC fans, maybe it's a good thing.
I advise Oregon State win these two games, at least one of them, particularly this USC game. If you beat USC, you have put a monkey wrench in the system. You have put a monkey wrench in the system, because if you do that, they're not going to have a choice but to put you on TV. They're not going to have a choice.
You're just trying to fix the system of a conference that you don't even believe is going to exist anymore. You're not being a hater toward the Trojans.
Correct.
You're trying to fix the system.
Correct.
Of the conference that you don't even believe is going to exist.
Correct.
You just want a temporary fix.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, since you brought up Utah, they tapped out San Diego State, and it was glorious to watch.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot about that. Oh yeah, that 35. It was 35 donut heading into the fourth quarter. This was a one-legged man in the ass-kicking contest.
But the receivers showed up. If Utah has receivers, we're in trouble. Everybody, all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, Devon Vele showed up. Solomon Enos. Yeah, they got a shot, dude. This is a good football team. And they get better as the season goes on. And they didn't start horribly this year. So I'm excited.
Can we talk about the female Utah Ute fans that make this conference a glorious conference?
What about them?
Against Southern Utah, two female fans showed up in just red body paint.
Oh.
And caused a big stir.
Of course that would cause a stir in Utah, buddy.
And wait for this one. A 21-year-old woman this week got arrested because she said she said, if Utah doesn't beat San Diego State, I'm going to activate a nuclear reactor.
Oh, yes.
And blow up the whole world.
And she's like, bro, I don't have a nuclear reactor. I can't even read.
Are the women of Utah okay?
Hey, listen. They are rabid college football fans. I'm in on rabid college football fans. So I guess I'm in on Utah women. All right. This week, though, in the Pac-12, we have more games. We have the...
And less games, thank God.
Well, yes. We have more games, but less games. Yes. For a fact. So instead of having 12 games, we have 6, which is way better. All right,
thank
so we have
Jesus.
Colorado at, I'm sorry, UCLA at Colorado. What is the line on this game on Pac-12 Network? Because thank God this game is not going to be nationally televised. Because if UCLA struggles to start against this team, I don't want it to be held against them. And if it's a bloody massacre, we didn't need to see that anyway.
I think you're going to be shocked by this spread. Shocked, shocked, shocked. It is 21.5. It opened at 20.5. It's only been bet up 1 point.
That's believable because of the way UCLA has played. But I am taking that. Give me UCLA all day. No questions. 21 points. Yep. They are going to beat the living shit out of them, to be honest.
I can't. I mean... What you're saying is if the line opened at 20.5, what you're saying is UCLA isn't going to score 3 touchdowns because Colorado's not scoring. So, I mean, even a 28-7 win covers. I'm at the 20.5. I'll take 21.5. Give it 10 more points. I'd take 31.5 in this game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, and before we go any further, we do have another review. And
yeah, a few more.
Oh, okay. 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 Well, we will stop right here on the future games and go to the reviews because they are so much fun.
Some of them are fun. Some of them are not very nice. Here's a good 4-star one. Don't know why it's 4 stars. I've rescinded my request for 4-star reviews. Unprofessional is a big word. University of Oregon graduate. Go Beavs.
I wasn't saying it's actually a big word. I was saying that like wow, like that's pretty aggressive. Like that's a like calling me unprofessional because I used a foul language in the podcast. Bro, kill it.
You know, I'm wondering if you caped so much for University or for Oregon State so much in the last segment because you want them to go update that to a 5-star. That's what I'm wondering, if that was your motivation. But I'm going to stick with it's because you're a USC hater. 5 stars, and it's just a repeat of the previous review. George's desire to be real edgy and drop the F-bomb lets me know that he cares about his followers. Totally professional. Also, George seems to do enough show prep. That's a response to the 2-star review from last week. Just flipping that script. That's a good one. Another 5-star review from Scott MG fan. Poo poo is the title. What a title. I appreciate George and Ralph's insight on the Pac-12. However, their picks against the spread are poo poo. And half the time, George can't remember what he picked. Only a few days later, do not bet your money based off their advice against the spread.
Hey, do you know what is funny? Okay, part of the reason why I can't remember sometimes is because I work on radio 6 days a week, plus do podcasts. And so I make picks on my radio shows. And so, dude, some of this shit runs together.
So well, and I've seen
that's why Ralph keeps track.
I've seen information come in midweek, and then on a radio show, you've updated who you pick based on information that came out after we recorded this. So then it gets kind of hard to keep track. I've seen that happen, so I get it. But don't act like I keep track. I have to go back and re-listen to our show before we record to tally. So here's another one. Natalie House, great pod. Awesome to have a Pac-12 center podcast. I have long liked George's takes. I stuck with him through the Reese's Pieces drama. As a former Duck, it takes a lot for me to declare him utterly wrong, but here it is. Let the ladies have the shirtless Trey Turner picks, Reister. Stay in your lane. What in the hell is she talking about?
Well, that's actually an older review. So that one's from October 2021.
Okay, it must have been updated. Like, it must have gone 4 stars to 5 stars or something because it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys make sure that you guys leave your reviews because we will read them. We should have put it on in the beginning of the show. But yeah, of course, leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. No 4 stars.
Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now back to the next game of this week. You have Oregon at Washington State, a 1 p.m. kickoff on Fox. What's the line in this game?
You want to go ahead and give it a guess?
Probably Oregon by 9.
It is 6.5, actually.
Oh.
6.5.
Listen, college fund right here. This is my kid's college fund. On this game, 6.5, give me the Ducks. They are going to stop a bit because Washington State's offense hasn't looked spectacular. this year. They are going to put the smackdown on the on their offense, and then they're going to be able to score points. Like, I don't expect this to be BYU bad, but it could be.
Yeah, I do. I do wonder. I don't know enough to know if Lanning had to deal with elements of the spread or how Georgia handled Mississippi State last year, if they played. But I don't. I look at Washington State and I would put them kind of on BYU's level as far as skill.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with a touchdown. I think you might even see this line move. 6.5 is the perfect thing, because even if it being, you know, in Pullman ends up affecting Oregon in some way, a touchdown is something you should be really comfortable with. So I'll go with you on this.
Yep. All righty. We have Arizona at Cal. Pac-12 Network.
Wow, there's not going to be a lot of people that get to watch any Pac-12 games this week, are there?
Correct. Well, three of the games are on Pac-12 Network.
All right, so Cal just lost to Notre Dame. They looked kind of listless on offense. Arizona put it all on the table against North Dakota State, came away with a win. Who do you think is going to be favored in this?
Cal should be favored by like 3.5.
It's just flat out 3. It's just the home team advantage.
So
they're counting this as even. I'm excited for this game because this game actually matters. Last year's game did not.
Yep.
And you'll never convince me otherwise. You can't send a team that had 25 people out with COVID to Tucson and have it be like, whoa, like a 3-0 game and say like, yeah, that was definitely a win for the Wildcats.
Yeah.
This game is everybody at full strength is one of the games I'm looking forward to most this weekend.
All right. Who are you taking?
The home team. I'll take Cal. This might push though. 3 points is, I'm taking the home team.
I'm actually going to go with Arizona. My head says Cal should win this game, but my heart and the fact that Justin Wilcox stiffed me at Pac-12 Media Day, I was like, you act like we didn't play together, but he had reason to be upset with me, I guess. He liked what I said.
Yeah, another thing is like I kind of like Arizona playing those night games, and I kind of like Cal playing day games. This is a day game.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that way, but Cal feels very much like a day game team. And University of Arizona feels very much like it's 11:15 Eastern and they haven't kicked off yet team.
Yep. All right. USC at Oregon State. The game's in Corvallis. This game's on Pac-12 Network.
Where would you set the spread if you were in charge?
If I were in charge, probably about a touchdown.
For USC?
Yeah, of course. They're a top 10 team. They are unbeatable right now. They're headed to the college football playoff, of course. I mean, I'm surprised they're not favored by 2 touchdowns. How much are they favored by?
6.5.
Okay.
6.5. And they have a common opponent, right?
Fresno State. Yep.
Yeah.
One team whooped Fresno State. The other one took the last play of the game. Give me the Beavs, homie. And my 6.5 points.
You taking them straight up?
No. But I am leaving room for the possibility of an upset. But I think USC wins this game by 4 points.
So here's what I would love to see out of Oregon State. Trust your offense. Don't just go in and do it. Because I think that was a mistake that Fresno State made was they can't stop the run. So we're going to ignore the fact that we have Jake Haener and we're going to try to force it.
Yep.
And by the time you needed Jake Haener to come back in and play hero, your defense had actually given up a few scores. So just run your offense the way that it is. Make it necessary adjustments, but don't try to exploit one weakness in particular, because this is a very opportunistic Trojans defense, even if it's not a perfect defense. I am going to take USC in this game.
Okay.
Just because I think one touchdown is that's still a pretty close game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I don't think it's going to be like a field goal. So give me USC -6.5.
Okay. Now you have Utah at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. Utah's going to win this game. I think we all feel good about, I think we both feel that that's going to happen. But the question is, how much? What is this line telling us?
I had heard that it opened a lot different than it's actually sitting at right now. It's a 2-score line. I think it's currently at 15.5.
Okay.
For Utah, I believe it opened up at like 8, 9.5. So it's really moving. Herm got fired. Obviously, that's.
So when coaches get fired, you either have like an immediate uptick or they go in the tank. I believe that they will have an immediate uptick, but then Utah is just going to smother them. Give me Utah -15.5.
This was every year I make an upset pick before the season, one that doesn't make sense, but just because of the way the Pac-12 shakes out, there's always wins and losses that shouldn't happen. This was my pick before the season. I felt pretty good about it after week one.
Bet you don't anymore.
So great about it now, but it is what it is. I'm not the type of person that learns from my mistakes. So I'm riding with what I said before the season even started. And I am taking ASU +15.5.
Yikers, 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 yikers. All right. Well, listen,
hey, you know what I am rooting for ASU to at least be serviceable because, Sean Aguano, who made my old high school relevant, has been given the interim title. And I would really, really love to see him get an honest shot at this gig. And I know that you might not hate that idea either, because it might mean that you get to keep Kenny Dillingham for an extra year as well.
I would welcome that. I would welcome keeping Kenny Dillingham for another year.
I don't know if people have seen that you're actually like advocating for Brennan Marion to come in, but I don't know if they realize that you got that little selfish thing in the back of like Brennan Marion getting this job means maybe another year of.
No. It had nothing to do with that. If that's the case,
added bonus. That's
I actually saying. Hope that if Kenny Dillingham gets the job, send me Brennan Marion up to Oregon, please. I will happily take him.
That's cool.
All right.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Last game up, Stanford at Washington. Stanford was off last week. They got a chance to lick their wounds against USC, recalibrate. Washington demolished Michigan State. To me, this is a Pac-12 special. This game is a Pac-12 special. Washington looked so good last week. But I'm telling you, there's something about that Stanford magic when they go up there to Washington especially. What's the line on this game?
14.
Oh, give me Stanford. I'm not even nothing to think about here. Nothing to think about.
Me neither. Absolutely not. Like this is a trap. This is a trap for bettors because Stanford had the week off. Washington did what they did against, which PS Vegas trapped the hell out of everybody on that Washington State or the Washington Michigan State line.
Not me.
Trapped us. No, we both lost.
No, I picked Washington.
You picked them. So this is what I'm talking about. You picked them. You picked Washington in our Friday betting article that we put on unafraidshow.com. But on the Pac-12 Apostles, you picked Michigan State.
Are you serious?
Yes.
God, the whole time I thought I picked Washington.
You did, just not on our podcast.
Damn.
Like, you won fake money off of it, and you are destroying me on our Friday picks. Like, it's to the point where I think I'm out of fake money, and I have to borrow fake money, and I'm in the negative. I'm going to get my fake legs fake broken by a fake bookie.
Oh my God. All right. Well, those are the games for this week. Hopefully they go well for the Pac-12. Anything you want to add before we get out of here, Ralph?
Ohana, Sean Aguano, let's go.
All right, peace out.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.